I've heard you say, Randy, that materialism destroys spiritual life.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, materialism, when you look at it, is the great enemy of the spiritual life. It is the great enemy, not the only one, but it certainly is a great enemy of the walk with Christ. And why is that? Well, part of the reason is that things have mass, and mass has gravity. And gravity holds us in orbit. So the more things we accumulate, the more mass in our lives, the more money we accumulate. And again, the things and the money are not bad, but they do have weight. And the more weight they have, the more mass there is, the greater their gravitational pull. And that's why so many people look back to the days when, you know, you hear people say this all the time. When we were first married, we didn't have anything. Well, actually, by global standards, most of us had a great deal. So the difference may be that back then when we were first married, we were in the 96th percentile of the world's wealthy. If you go to globalrichlist.com and check that out. And now we've moved up to the 98th or 99th percentile of the world's wealthy, you know. But the point is, relatively speaking, we had a lot less than most of us when we first got married. And so we look back and people will say, oh, and we did this and we saved up, and every once in a while, once a month, we saved up enough to go to McDonald's, and you know, and it was like you hear these stories, but then you'll often hear people say, those were great times. Yeah, we lived in 600 square foot apartment, and there wasn't much room, and we did this, we did that. Well, now, as life goes on, and we tend to accumulate more and more, with everything we accumulate comes a responsibility. You get the really nice car, and now all of a sudden, that nice car requires attention and care, and so now I find myself thinking about that nice car. I had a perfect example one morning years ago. There was a man in our church that I was having breakfast with, and it was an early breakfast, and the parking lot was dark. It was maybe 6 o'clock in the morning, and you know, we're sitting there, we're eating, and he keeps looking out the window, and he's just very distracted. Now, he asked to meet with me to talk about some things. And ironically, they had to do with material things and money and, you know, all of that. So finally, I just looked at him and said, what are you looking at out in the parking lot? I mean, is there somebody out there? Because I couldn't see anything. He says, I bought a new car and I just need to keep my eye on it. So he's one of those guys who, you know, you sometimes see people that park, you know, right over a parking line so nobody can park on either side of them, which probably motivates a lot of other people to want to run their key across the car and, you know, do damage to it. But the point of the whole thing is, hey, because it's nice, now my mind is on it. It's ruling me. And when I looked at this brother and I said, you know, don't you think that this new car that you got is sort of running your life? If you can't even sit here and have a conversation, you have to just keep looking out in the parking lot to make sure it's okay, as if it was your child out there by himself in the parking lot. I mean, you know, and the point of it is material things grab hold of us. And I think the only way to break the back of materialism is to give, to become a generous giver, because at the moment you give and you part with it, you are affirming, this is not my Lord, because that which is your Lord, you don't part with. I don't give it away if it runs my life. If it's the most important thing in my life, I won't part with it. Well, God should be the most important person in our lives, and we should not part with him. Our family should be critically important to us, and we should not part with them. You know, go the other way, ignore them, and remove them from our lives. But when we give money away, what we're saying is, money is not my God. Money is not my Lord. And I'm going to take what belongs to God and give it to others as he has told me to do, and invest my life in what will matter beyond this life. Doing what Jesus said in Matthew 6, lay up for yourself treasures, not on earth, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and dust and rust don't corrupt and where thieves don't break through and steal. And then when you go to heaven, when you live your life, instead of spending your life always heading away from your treasures because your treasures are on earth, you're spending your life heading toward your treasures because you've stored up for yourselves, as Jesus said, treasures in heaven that will be waiting for you when you die. You've invested in world evangelism, and in eternity to come, you'll be meeting people who came to faith in Christ because you faithfully gave to support missions and gospel radio and gospel literature and Bible translations. And so now you're looking forward to the world to come because you've invested much of your life in it. But I'll tell you what, if you've invested the great majority of your life just on stuff on this earth, then the closer you get to the day you die, and by the way, we're all getting, you know, day by day, one day closer to the day that we die or until Christ returns, which is effectively the same because it means the end of life as we know it on this earth presently. But every day of our lives, we're getting closer to the day of death. And if we've stored up all our treasures here, that means every day of our lives, we're headed away from our treasures. And the person who spends his life headed, you know, his or her life heading away from their treasures has reason to despair. But the person who spends his or her life headed toward their treasures, they have reason to rejoice.